This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Services together on this beautiful Monday. It's not snowing in Pierce, South Dakota, and for that we are phenomenally grateful. And I hope in the spirit of good health, South Dakota was pretty fine this weekend. So I hope everybody listening on the internet and those in the room took some time to get some fresh air. It's like a tease that things are going to get better, and that is not necessarily the case. All right, because it's still winter, after all. So welcome to everyone on the internet. I'm Senator Deb Sohol, Chair of Senate Health and Human Services. We appreciate you connecting in and listening to the business of your government. We serve at your behest, and it's a privilege to do so. This would be a great time for everybody in the room to check your cell phones and make sure that they're not going to interrupt our proceedings. We'll establish a quorum, and then we're going to meet our new pages. So, Rena, why don't you call the roll?
Senators Duhamel.
Here.
Foster.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Rush.
Here.
Russell. Steinhauer. Sohol.
Here.
Madam Chair, a quorum.
All right, we have a quorum. So, just a reminder, if anyone wants to testify as a proponent or an opponent to any bill before us today, be sure to sign up at the podium, and we really appreciate it if you do so legibly. It really helps Rena with the minutes, although she is honestly superb at her job. So appreciate Rena Ortbon every day for the work that she does to support our committee. All right. We have new pages this week. They come for a two-week period of time from their high schools around the state of South Dakota and help us out and really do a very important job. And so they're just like first day, woo, you know, is this your first committee meeting? Yes and yes. Oh, gosh. Welcome. Okay, so I want you to come on up to the mic one at a time. Turn on the mic and introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from and tell us what you're thinking about. Like, do you have a place that you're thinking about going to college yet? Or let us know what you're thinking for your future. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Taylor Storbakken, and I'm a junior at the Burton Heckla High School, but I live in Bedlin, South Dakota, and currently I'm undecided for after high school.
Taylor, thanks for helping us. Bedlin, they used to have like the Dakota Comforter. There was like an outlet up there in Bedlin. Visited that place once, came home with a bunch of stuff in the back of the car. So know where your town is. So really appreciate you being here, Taylor. Welcome to your capital, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Natalie Moore. I'm a senior here at Pier at the Tia Friggs High School. And right now, my plans for next year, I've narrowed it down to the University of Minnesota Twin Cities or Augustana University in Sioux Falls.
Wonderful. Well, we hope you'll stay in state. But Natalie, thank you for your help and for being from the capital city. We appreciate all that you're going to do over the next couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Okay, Senators, we have before us the minutes from our meeting of Friday, February 21st. Thank you, Senator Jensen, and seconded by Senator Rush. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, thank you. Okay, so we are going to begin today with Senate Bill 109, which is an act to provide protections for health care decisions governed by conscience. And we will move with proponent testimony. Welcome, Senator.
Good morning, Chair Lady and Committee. I'm Senator Jim Stalzer from Sioux Falls. And Senate Bill 109 was designed to ensure that medical professionals don't have to violate their oath of do no harm and to ensure that they're not forced to participate in procedures or treatment that conflict with their ethical, moral, or religious beliefs. As we've gotten closer to committee time, have visited with more people who have questions or issues with various parts of this bill. So rather than try to push an amendment through that might be half done and not do the job we wanted, I am going to ask that the committee table this bill, and then I will get together with various stakeholders and bring something back next year.
Well, Senator, you know, you're a statesman that really thinks through what you're doing with your bills and being interested in opening up new conversation. But for those listening on the internet, for a legislator to come forward to ask to table their own bill and to extend the graciousness that this is probably a bigger conversation and really the commitment to getting it right before we move forward with legislation that may affect many parties, It's to your credit, sir, so thank you for that. We have a request from the prime sponsor for a tabling motion. Senator Rush has made the motion. Senator Duhamel has seconded. This is a non-debatable motion, senators, so all in favor of that will say aye and opposed nay. Rena, call the roll.
Senators Duhamel?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Russell? Excused. Steinhauer? Excused. Soholt?
Aye.
Five ayes, Madam Chair.
All right. Senate Bill 109 has been tabled, and we'll look forward to a future conversation regarding that topic. Thank you again, Senator. All right. We'll now move on to House Bill 1056, which is an act to authorize video monitoring of residents in assisted living centers and nursing facilities. Proponent testimony. And sponsor. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Phil Jensen, District 33. House Bill 1056 could very well become a model piece of legislation. It addresses concerns of families with loved ones living in nursing facilities or assisted living centers and the concerns of the facilities regarding privacy for the resident, roommates, staff, and visitors. A little bit of history. During the 2019 legislative session, a constituent told us a story about their aging mother and asked for help. Representative Tina Malawi from Pennington County and myself brought forth a bill that caused some concerns and objections. With that being said, the 2019 bill was tabled until the stakeholders and legislators could meet over the interim to address these concerns. Thanks to Mr. Tim Rave and Tammy Haddock for organizing the meetings and the stakeholders for all their hard work. These meetings were very productive and enlightening for all involved. House Bill 1056 is an act to authorize video monitoring of residents in assisted living centers and nursing facilities. As we all know, technology is in public places everywhere. We are under surveillance all the time. House Bill 1056 allows us to have a tool in our toolbox to use in the protection of our elderly without burdening the caregivers. Many of our facilities that care for our loved ones sometimes are great distances away from the family home due to the rural nature of our state. As some of us have experienced it, it's difficult to visit on a regular basis. With House Bill 1056, video monitoring, the burden of a possible loss of income due to time off from work to travel would be reduced, or guilt felt by family members for not having routine visiting schedules could be eased by knowing that viewing the daily activities of their loved ones is only a click away. Unfortunately, we must also consider the possibility of elder abuse. House Bill 1056 video monitoring could deter an individual from causing harm to some of our most vulnerable elderly citizens, while at the same time protecting the caregivers, the facility, residents, and guests. At the request of family members, video monitoring devices may be installed in the facility where their loved ones reside. This device will aid in the comfort of the families, knowing that at any time they can access the monitoring device and view the daily activities of their loved ones. And in turn, House Bill 1056 will not burden the nursing facility or the assisted living centers with any costs for installation, maintenance, repairs, or control of the content. To summarize, Section 1 offers definitions. Section 2 addresses the consent forms needed. Excuse me. Section 3, roommates, consent, refusal, and restrictions. Section 4 addresses the description, model, installation, and operations of device. Section 5, liability and the responsibility of the resident for any cost. Section 6, the use of facilities network is prohibited. Residents, however, may arrange for a private service provider for internet access. Section 7, placement of device. Section 8 prohibits audio surveillance. Sections 9 through 10 address the removal and responsibilities associated. Section 11 satisfies the displaying notice to the public of video monitoring. Sections 12, 13, and 14 address the destruction, penalty, and allegations of misconduct. Section 15, 16, and 17 and 18 clarifies evidence, retaliation, liability, and complaints. As you can see, there was extensive research on House Bill 1056. Sadaho, Avera, Sanford, and the nursing facilities have all testified this bill is well written and may possibly become model legislation. A favorable vote from this committee will bring that to fruition. I thank you for your service to this great state and for your time and attention to the protection of our elderly citizens. I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Glad your voice is a little bit better this week. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1056. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Yes, happy Monday to you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Tim Rave, representing Sadaho. As the Senator did such a wonderful job of laying out, I will just touch on a few different things. First, I want to lift up both he and Representative Mullally for working with all of the stakeholders over the summer. There was approximately 40 people by the end of the process that had been involved, and that included the Senator and the Representative, of course, myself, folks from Avera, Sanford, all the long-term care, many of the long-term care facilities. We met in person in Rapid City in April, had a great four-hour roundtable discussion that kicked it off. We spent the rest of the summer mostly via email and a few phone calls, really firmed up the piece of legislation that you have before you today. There are really a few key components to the bill, as the Senator laid out. It puts protections for residents first. Roommates, second, the facilities, and the providers. And it really, we spent a lot of time covering all of those areas over the summer. What really, at the end of the summer, pushed this to more of even a priority than it was, Minnesota had a Supreme Court case there that was ruled upon late in the summer. And it stated a family had actually filed suit against a home that had prohibited video monitoring in their facilities. That case obviously went all the way to the Supreme Court. In that case, the Supreme Court ruled that in lieu of any statutory framework, that a facility could not prohibit a family member from having that video camera in there. And our group really felt at that time that since this was a really good compromise piece of legislation that was well thought out and well built, that we would be very adamantly supporting it. And that's where we're at today. So I will stand down. Tammy Hadding is going to walk through the bill a little bit more detail, section by section, briefly. And then I know there's others that would like to give proponent testimony. And it's a standby for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rave. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1056. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Tammy Hadding, and I'm Vice President of Post-Acute Care and Education for Sadaho. So like Tim said, over the summer, we were able to meet with our stakeholders. And as we were drafting this legislation and looking at what other states had, there are about 12 other states right now that do have this type of legislation, and about, including us, three others that are looking at it this year, many of whom have already requested the bill that we have in front of us today. So we've been through some of this section by section already, but just wanted to talk through the definitions is the primary the beginning of this, but wanted to make sure that everyone understood that if there is a roommate, there must be consent, and there is a form that we will be developing. Many other states also have this form, so it'll be easy to put together, and this will show that the consent must be by the roommate or the roommate's authorized representative, and it also allows for restrictions. So if they don't want it on in certain times or certain things like that, restrictions are able to be imposed on this form. So I think that's a really important part of this bill. The consent must be initially notified. The facility must be notified right away if a resident wishes to have video monitoring in the facility. And that has to be noted on the consent form as well. And it also has to be noted in their power of attorney. And if there's any other legal questions about that, we'll have Tim Doherty come up and explain some of that. The liabilities are covered in this. There are also the one really important piece, and as we talk to our key stakeholders, our nursing home administrators and staff, directors of nursing, wanted to make sure that there was no additional pressure or anything else that we have to put on the workforce. Our workforce is very fragile in our nursing homes already, But they do feel that the way we have it written here, with notification, with signage being posted, and with no additional cost to the facility, so this would be up to the family to buy the proper equipment, which will be identified on the form as well. The most important piece to the equipment is no audio. We want to make sure that we honor the residents' dignity and privacy and respect as much as possible, so audio is prohibited in there. And we've already mentioned a lot of the other ones, a lot of the other pieces where it is a Class 1 misdemeanor if there are any violations. And I'll just stand by for any other questions that you may have. But I think that kind of sums up the primary pieces of the bill.
Thank you, Ms. Hattie. Okay. Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1056. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Deb Fisher-Clemens with Avera, and we stand in support of this legislation as well. We want to thank the sponsors for taking the time to work with all of us to get the bill in a great form. I would say there's probably three things that are most important to us and the things that I watched for as this was being developed. And one is, of course, the resident first and making sure that everything is going to be done so that quality care can be provided. Secondly, the roommate, making sure that we're not doing anything that jeopardizes that roommate's abilities with their families and physicians, et cetera. Thirdly, our staff, being concerned about making sure that this did not add undue burden onto them and making sure that I think there will be some concerns about the comfort level of having a camera. We need to work through those, but I think that our staff understands how important this is. And so with all of the protections we put into this legislation, we're definitely supportive. And I ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1056. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Brett Hoffman with the South Dakota Healthcare Association, representing nursing centers and assisted living facilities across our state. We are supportive of the current amended version of HB 1056 and worked with all of those involved in how to best protect the privacy and dignity of our residents. In South Dakota, we are very fortunate to have some of the best long-term care centers in the country. An article that appeared in Forbes a little over a year ago listed states with the best rated nursing homes. In that article, South Dakota was ranked number one in the country. Of course, even one unfortunate incident is one too many, and any failure of care gets far more attention than the hundreds of acts of kindness and love that occur in our nursing homes every day. Fact is, it takes a very special person to care for our elderly and disabled residents, and fortunately, South Dakota is blessed with those caregivers. We all know that one of the only constants in life is change, and that electronic monitoring in many settings, including a care setting, will likely continue into the future. It is here to stay. However, we also know that when families want to do this, there may be an issue of trust. So, we hope that if a resident or family member feels the need to use a monitoring device because of any underlying concern, that this will lead to more discussions between caregivers and those they care for, and help get to the root of any issue. With this in mind, we took a good look at what this bill could offer families, residents, and providers, and came to the conclusion that the guidelines established in the bill are for the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Mitch Rave with Sanford Health and Good Samaritan Society. I just want to get up and echo the comments made by the previous proponents. We are really appreciative of the prime sponsors for pulling the bill last year and working with us to find something that's workable for both the residents, the roommates, the facilities, and the staff. I think this bill does a great job of protecting all of the stakeholders, and just urge your support on House Bill 1056 as amended. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Is there any further proponent testimony, House Bill 1056? All right, seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony on 1056? All right, seeing none, we will waive rebuttal and turn it over to committee questions. Senator, why don't you hang on for a minute for questions? Oh, sure. Committee questions. All right, I have one. in relationship, so I don't know who wants to answer this, but from, I appreciate the work that was done in the summer and the crafting of the bill, and it, but then the bill was extensively hoghoused coming from the House. Can someone, I don't know who, okay, Mr. Rave, is that all right with you, Senator, for him to take that question? Just want to understand the mechanics and the changes that were made from the House to the Senate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the question. Yeah, it really was a drafting error, maybe lack of communication between Representative and LRC, and more mirrored last year's version than the version we had worked on all summer. And so in a very transparent way, we just amended it with the bill that we had all agreed upon over the summer and did that in House committee on the other side.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Any further questions, senators? All right, seeing none, we'll bring it back for committee discussion and or action. Senator Rush.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move do pass.
It has been moved by Senator Rush and seconded by Senator Duhamel. Do pass on House Bill 1056. Discussion on your motion.
Yeah, I think this is, thank you, Madam Chair. This is the ideal situation when all the people, parties who are interested can get together and work out something that'll work for all of them. And I see no reason why we as the legislator want to interfere with something that's working for all the parties.
Any further discussion on the do pass motion? Well, I just want to say I want to really thank the good senator for bringing this really very comprehensive piece of legislation forward. And then it just, for those listening, this is how public policy should go, that people that have vested interest in making things happen that are substantive and laws that really move the state forward come together and work out those differences. So we have a very, you know, uncontested hearing about an idea that time has come. So I really appreciate all the work, because to get it, this is many, many sections of law. And so when you look at all the protections of the facility, the person, the roommate, the liabilities, the clarity of how the technology would be applied, that's complex to draft that into comprehensive language for statute. So I appreciate the good senator for all the work in making that happen, and also to Representative Mullally. All right, we have a do pass motion in front of us, senators, House Bill 1056. All in favor will say aye. All opposed, no. Rena, go ahead with the roll.
Senators Duhamel. Foster?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Russell? Excused. Steinhauer? Excused. So hold.
Aye.
Madam Chair, 5 ayes.
All right. So House Bill 1056 is going to the Senate floor. And as Chair, I could put it on consent, but I'm not going to. I think this is something where we do need to share the concept, because it is something new that we're moving forward with in the state. So if that's all right, Senator, we'll have you speak about that. On the floor, and we can talk certainly about how it is virtually uncontested moving across the legislature. So, all right, great work. Thank you, everyone. Okay, now we're going to have to be at ease for a moment, because we are working to find people to represent House Bill 1011. We don't have prime sponsors on either side of the chamber with respect to that bill. And I sent a page to get one of the prime sponsors to come in and do so. We will be at ease until that time. Don't go too far away, please. If you exit the room, stay in the vicinity.
Okay, for consideration, we have House Bill 1011, an act to require certain examinations of persons awaiting involuntary commitment hearings. I'll take proponent testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Deb Soholt, representing District 14 in Southeast Sioux Falls. 1011 is a product that came out of one of the five task forces that met on mental health access. And this one was chaired by the former Senator Alan Solano and came out of that group. And so this has to do with the issue of people waiting too long for, now that we've done legislation that is going to open up being able to do qualified mental health professionals doing assessments virtually. This is a piece of legislation that speaks to having to, after the apprehension and emergency intervention, changing the mental health hold timing so that a QMHP, really the crux of it, is lines 14 and 15, that the QMHP shall perform an examination for each 24-hour period during which the person is detained. And the issue is that we have people that get better. They start to be detained, and within a day or two, they're getting restabilized on their medications, they're doing much better, And in the previous, they might wait 4 or 5 days before they actually have a QMHP that would evaluate. And so this is legislation to tighten that up so that we can create access back into community, going back sooner and making sure that we're not really having a backlog and people just waiting and further expense when they're actually doing better. This is not to inhibit those that would need to be detained and have involuntary commitment because they're not well. So with that, I'm going to have another senator come and speak because he actually works within this work, and we'll have further proponent testimony. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator Soholt. Further proponents to House Bill 1011.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I'm Senator Art Rush from District 17. As most of you know, before I became a senator, I was a judge for 18 years. Vermilion was certainly part of my area, but Yankton was another part of the area. And I was predominantly the judge who heard all of the lawsuits involving the Human Services Center, requests to be released, requests for appeals of commitments and that. So this is certainly an area that I worked with for many years and familiar with. And as Senator Soholt pointed out, the only real change, most of this is just wording changes in there, but the requirement in here is added that a qualified mental health professional shall perform an examination for each 24-hour period. And, you know, I think that's a critical factor because so many of the people who there's a petition to be committed regain so that they don't need to be committed at that time, particularly if they begin to take their medications and there's, you know, it's expensive for the state to be holding it. It interferes with their daily life. And so I think it's important that this be reevaluated at least every 24 hours as required by the statute. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rush. Any further proponent of House Bill 1011?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, and Madam Chair. My name is Terry Dash. I serve as Executive Director of the South Dakota Council of Community Behavioral Health. The specific LTF that this grew out of was the one on reducing overall use of acute mental health hospitalization, and you've seen some other legislation that came out of this committee. I wish you'd regard all of these bills to be interrelated. They're basically chunks to a bigger picture. And this is an important one, as Senator Soholt and especially Senator Rush pointed out. I think the key driver to this is it requires a reexamination every 24 hours and a report of those findings to the Board of Mental Illness. And for all the reasons that have been stated, that's a good idea. Why hasn't it been in code up to this point in time? Because now we're talking about some other alternatives, too. Like the appropriate regional facilities where we may hold somebody for up to 5 days outside of inpatient hospitalization. And so I think it's very appropriate and important to clarify this interval for reexamination because, you know what, most of the time after a fairly short period of time, these individuals stabilize and don't require that level of care. They don't require continuance with the involuntary commitment process. So we support this. We support this very heartily, and we hope that you will support it also. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dash. Further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Representative Aaron Healy, District 14. I served as a member of this study this summer, and I just wanted to rise in support of the bill, the legislation. And I apologize for not being here sooner. I somehow missed the memo.
Thank you, Representative Healy. Further proponent testimony?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Jeremy Johnson from the Department of Social Services. We also participated in the task forces this summer and wanted to offer support for this bill. We see it as a positive change that helps ensure that individuals on mental illness holds meet the appropriate criteria and continue to meet that criteria during the duration of the hold. Thank you for the consideration of this bill, and I'll be available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. For the proponent testimony. Sorry,
Deb Fisher Clemens with Avera in support of this legislation. I just want to add my thoughts about the work that was done by the mental health task forces this summer. Lots of pieces of legislation came from that, good things, and it's for our patients, for the consumers of mental health care in this state. And this particular bill provides protections for individuals and in reality saves healthcare dollars if people are able to have these their testing done in a the way they should be done. It saves on our healthcare dollars as well. So a protection, saving healthcare dollars, and in the long run, that assures that our workforce is available to take care of folks when we need to take care of them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, Tim Rave, Sadaho. I would just associate myself with the previous remarks. We wanted to go on record in support of this bill and the hard work that they've been doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rave. Anyone else like to speak in support? Any opponent testimony? Seeing no opponents, are there any questions from the committee? Any motions from the committee?
Madam Chair, I would move to pass House Bill 1011.
Senator Sohold moves to pass, a second by Senator Foster. Any discussion?
Well, I just, you know, I appreciate where the committee's at on all of these mental health bills and how they came together as a package of pieces that are all interconnected to provide access. And so it's an exciting time to think about really moving forward and changing the trajectory for support for people that are struggling with mental health issues. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Sohold. Any other discussion or comment? I, too, want to say I'm so impressed by the work of the folks at the mental health. It just seems like a win, certainly for the patients, but for the state of South Dakota. So with that, the motion do pass, and we will go to a floor vote.
Senators Duhamel?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Russell? Excused. Steinhauer?
Aye.
Sohold?
Aye.
Madam Chair, six ayes.
Senate House Bill 1011 passes unanimously. I presume we'll want this to go to the floor. No? Consent calendar?
I would request that you put it on consent, which is what was done in the, okay. In the House.
This will go to the consent calendar. Thank you. And back to our real chair.
And that's how it goes as a new senator. A chair just calls on you and says, take it. And she did a fine job. Thank you, Senator Duhamel. That's how you learn, by fire in the legislature. Okay, senators, we do not have further business, but I do want to share about the agenda on Wednesday. We just have one bill to take up, and that's all that's left. We've done our work, and congratulations, senators, because we've handled all of our Senate bills well ahead of crossover day, so you just got to feel really good about the diligence upon which we did our work and that we, you know, took care of all of our business as we should. We will be hearing on Wednesday, and there's been some questions about this from people, House Bill 1096. I am not releasing the agenda until after the bills come over from the House today in case there are a couple of other bills that we can add to our Wednesday's agenda because I believe in us moving around, you know, getting things done and doing work, and we don't necessarily just have to have one item on our agenda for Wednesday, but that's all we do have to take up at this time. So for those that are looking for the agenda, you can expect that to come out around 2:30, quarter three, somewhere. The bill has to be read, has to be assigned, and then it has to end up on the system before Rena Orban's able to put that onto an agenda and get it approved. So that's where we're at. Is there any further business before Senate Health and Human Services? Seeing none, Senator Rush has moved adjournment.
Sorry.
And has been seconded by Senator Steinhauer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. We are adjourned.